Homepage, current events, controversy, and courageous living from a Chippewa Valley perspective. Don't forget about the benefit for the kids in Nigeria, their education tonight. Got that in a silent auction at Peace Church in Eau Claire. Our Jill Wetland, our friend, putting that event on. She's got some great musical groups. The Collective Choir, headed by Mike Rambo, and also Anna Johnson, back in town, Chippewa Falls native. She's been taking up residence in Nashville in recent years, and so great musical performances tonight. It's, I think, $15 per singles and $35 for families tonight, starting at 6:30 at Peace Church in Eau Claire. Coming up, Wisconsin, the drunkest state in the country. What can we do to change that? Starting off on Homepage on WOGO, Mark Howerson and Renee Couture. Governor Walker was in Eau Claire already today. Chippewa County Economic Development Corporation had their annual awards breakfast. Governor was there, and we captured some of what he had to say in his message as well. We're going to start you off, though, when we move in that direction on the show. We'll move into talking to the media, and so that's... Have to ask a couple of questions. And
you guys must be on a first-name basis by this stage, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, usually we have this whole Wauwatosa connection. That's where he lived. Now, today, it didn't feel quite the same. But you know what? All of a sudden, it's like, well, I know the governor sold his house in Wauwatosa, so maybe we don't share that same Wauwatosa bond as much. His folks had lived in Wauwatosa. I wonder where his folks lived. Now, anyhow, he sold his house there. But I saw a picture of him at the Republican State Convention last weekend. It was he, his wife Tanette, Brian Westrate, and there was and Brian posted it on his Facebook page, and it was about as happy as I'd seen the governor. He looked like he was kind of goofing around, and I think Brian had kind of a fun post, like, you know, and this guy, you know, he was introduced who was all, and I know there was a fourth person in the picture. I'm just forgetting who it was, but I wanted to add, that was on my list of possible questions today, and yet I never quite got there, because all of a sudden you've got a guy. Questions start getting asked. I asked for his feedback. There's this voter ID trial going on. And so I got a take on that. And then later I asked him about some of the gang violence that seems to be growing in Milwaukee and Madison. Now, we had two people gunned down at gas stations by gang members. I mean, at gas stations. Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, really. It is crazy. And some of the reaction from coworkers here was, that sounds like a Milwaukee story. It's happening in Madison. And so I asked the governor, and he talked, just to give a preview, we played the answer last hour on WIB and WIB.com, where he's talking about, well, the family, the breakdown of the family. So, because I wondered, does that bother you, and is there anything you can do?
Sure, it's got to be heartbreaking for him as the leader of the state.
Right, right. So, all right, but we've been talking the last half hour plus on WWIV and carry it here, and there's a story in the Leader Telegram on this today, and it's a story that we reported on earlier in the week that Eau Claire is the ranked ninth on a website of the drunkest cities in the country. And Wisconsin's got 7 of the top 10, 12 of the top 20. And I said, and I have not lived up to this, unless you've been able to help, like, that we're the only state, in terms of when you look at this legislatively, we're the only state in the country that doesn't criminalize first offense drunk driving.
Well, that would have been a great question to ask Governor Walker. Like, I don't know the history of that. Why? That is so weird. I mean, did you think it is just because we're the drunkest state? I mean, that's so sad.
Yeah, I'm going to try to, if you talk a little bit more, I'll Google this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to find all the, just the list of the breweries, because when you grow up with something, I mean, that's why I used to drink before I became a Christian, is because I, it's Wisconsin, people drink. And, but now that I'm away from it, I'm like, well, thank God I don't have that anymore, because there's so much more to life. And sadly, when I've gone back to my class reunions, it was just a bunch of quarter barrels in the middle of a field. And I'm are you serious? No, 30 years later, that's what you're still doing?
I think a lot of times class reunions have that reputation of being that.
I mean, that's what it was. Yeah. The last one that I went to, it was in the town of Seymour, literally in the middle of a field, and I got there late, and there was 2 cans of hot Pepsi that had been sitting, you know, in a 6-pack on a table, and quarter barrels of beer.
Eau Claire Memorial, right?
Is your, no, North.
North is your alma mater, okay. Huh. Well, that's right here in Eau Claire. All right, well, I'm doing some digging, and so we're getting some of this. The criminalization of first offense DUIs in Wisconsin is at University of Wisconsin, like a journalism institute. They say with nearly 5,000 alcohol-related crashes in Wisconsin each year, penalties for first-time drunk drivers are an issue for voters to consider. This is a couple of years back in 2014. They say Wisconsin was then and is now the only state where first offense drunk driving is not a crime. According to the State Department of Transportation's website, the first offense of... Sound kind of hollow in my headphones. I'm not sure what the deal is here today. According to Wisconsin State Department of Transportation's website, the first offense of driving while intoxicated is a... I think it's because I have your mic up too. Okay, is a $150 to $300 fine and a 6 to 9 month license suspension. So, I mean, there's something. But as a municipal offense, first-time drunk driving is comparable to a traffic ticket in the state. I mean, that's... It just feels too weak.
Yeah, and I mean, now that you're saying those statistics, that's got to be, I mean, if that got changed, that would be a huge deterrent, I think.
Now, here's the thing. This article goes back to before the gubernatorial election. Remember Mary Burke? That's who Governor Walker ran against. She had said first-time DUIs should be criminalized as a misdemeanor. Walker had said he'd prefer to focus on toughening penalties for repeat offenders. So...
Mm. Now, that surprises me. That really
surprises
me. But
I think you got to realize running in Wisconsin, that's why. I mean, it's a political hot potato. That's why I said the beer tax hasn't been raised since 1969.
Yeah, okay. But then when you start reading all these statistics, and then this is a national thing that we have 12 of the top most drunken.
12 of the 20, right, because I mean, a lot of excessive and binge drinking.
I mean, that's not something that, you know, that Governor Walker could possibly be proud of. I didn't even know these statistics. That's totally news to me.
Right. At the time, the attorney general candidate Sue Happ and Brad Schimmel, who got the job, and we played his comment from the Republican convention, he's already running for re-election in 2018, said that there's no evidence to support the criminalization of drunk driving as an effective deterrent. So there you go.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's... And again, you go, well, are they just saying that because they know from an electoral standpoint that would they don't want to be the one? Mondale saying he was for raising taxes didn't bode well in 1984 against Reagan when he won one state, right? And in Wisconsin, to run for any office, attorney general, governor, state representative, state senate, you don't want to be the candidate who says, hey, I'm... One of my things I really care about is I want to criminalize first offense drunk driving. They're going,
that's
a ticket to losing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you hear these statistics, doesn't that make you go like, oh, there has to be a way to change that?
Yes, this would have been with this story. I don't know why I wasn't thinking of this today. That would have been. I had not had enough forethought to even think for sure. I kind of developed on the fly in there that we were going to talk about the subject. I just thought it's a good subject. And again, there's a story in the Leader Telegram about it today.
I mean, I think the tax on beer, that would be a bigger thing for politicians to not want because they think they might not be elected. But I don't know. I don't ever want to be a person that compiles statistics because that would be like the most boring thing ever. But these statistics are really, really alarming. And I don't know. I'll have to, speaking of Googling, I'll have to Google between now and next week to see why it wouldn't be a deterrent.
The public seemed to have, this is in 2014, polls had showed up to 56% of participants in favor of criminalizing first offense drunk driving. Judy Visco is a Kenosha native in the southern part of the state. She supports making first-time drunk driving a misdemeanor. Visco was driving to the grocery store Halloween 2007 to get a candy bar. When a drunk driver hit her vehicle, the collision shattered her arm from her shoulder to her fingertips. She underwent four surgeries to reinforce her bones with titanium and implant a neural transmitter into her spine. Sounds like the bionic woman. She now has to wear a prosthetic elbow since hers was damaged beyond repair. She says taking away a driver's license isn't enough to keep drunk drivers out of their vehicles. She also says jail time isn't enough of a deterrent. If it was, people wouldn't be committing their 10th DUIs, and I'm telling you, those stories happen more often than you'd think.
Well, maybe we could, because I'm looking at what are the penalties for a DUI, OWI in Wisconsin. First offense, no jail time, but you do get fined $150 to $300. License suspension first time, 6 to 9 months. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, that's what they're saying. There's some consequences. Yeah, I'm looking at something maybe from the...
You know what? Money talks. What if you fine somebody $1,000? I mean, wouldn't that be a deterrent?
You'd think. I don't know. I mean, certainly.
I mean, if it's tied to money, why things aren't being passed, then why not charge somebody $1,000 first time offense drunk driving?
I'm looking at something else here as well. 7 surprisingly painful truths about your first offense, OWI in Wisconsin. But our broader question here on WOGO, at least in this first half hour, is how can we change so that we're not the drunkest state in the country, that we're not the drunkest state in the union? Is that just kind of built in to the fabric here that, Mark, just get used to it? That's just the way it's always been, and that's just the way it'll always be. That we had a lot of breweries. La Crosse has the most bars per capita of any state in any city in the country. Eau Claire is second with 6.4 bars for every 10,000 people. Well, can we do anything to change our drunk culture? WOGO.
Meet Beth. Beth's coworkers used to call her the print patrol because she spent so much time policing paper jams and toner refills. Then Beth took action, called Marco, and got empowered. Marco's managed print services take care of everything, from ordering toner to troubleshooting printer issues to managing print costs. Marco empowers Beth to work more productively so she could hand in her print patrol badge once and for all. Get empowered with carefree printing at marconet.com.
Anything you do can be the cherry berry. Grab a bowl, strike a pose, that's how it goes. So many flavors, where to begin? Soak it in, make a choice, choose again and again. Bin to the chopping bar, more like the no stopping bar. Endless combinations, I may need a shopping cart. Fruit, nuts, candy too. Man, when I'm a cherry berry, what can't I do? Give it to me quick, give it to me now. Cherry berry yogurt, basically straight from the cow. Do the cherry berry, do the cherry berry.
Cherry berry frozen yogurt. Eau Claire.
Serving Eau Claire and Chippewa counties, Valley Septic and Sewer Service, known for cleanliness and thorough inspections for over 25 years. Valley Septic and Sewer Service. When's the last time you had your home or business maintained? If it's been over 3 years, it's overdue. Call Valley Septic and Sewer Service, 723-2474 or 836-9515. And when winter blows in, Valley Septic has equipment to fix any problem. Call Dan to schedule your inspection and pumping today, 723-2474 or 836-9515.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Mark and Renee talking about this alarming study from this week that from 247wallstreet.com revealing the list of the drunkest cities in the country, the 20 drunkest and the 20 driest. The driest are in the Bible Belt and in Utah, but the Midwest has like 18 of the top 20, 7 of the top 10 and 12 of the top 20 are in Wisconsin. We've asked AODA counselor Kathy Butler to join us and jump in on the conversation with Mark Howerson and Renee Couture on a Friday. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and thanks for taking our call. Short notice here. And so a story in the Leader Telegram today, officials say a drunk city ranking, no cause for cheers. Eau Claire placed 9th on the list of U.S. locations known for inebriation. And so Renee and I today, last hour on WIB and continuing here on WOGO and WOGO.com and FM 103.1 are asking, you know, like, is there anything we can ever do to change this, or is this just built into the cake forever?
Well, no, it's an attitudinal and a cultural thing. We almost joke about it at times in groups that I do, that the attitude towards binge drinking or abusing alcohol is much more accepted here. It's part of the rite to passage into adulthood. Unacceptable behavior is looked upon as funny or, oh, well, that's what happens. I'm talking about vomiting or passing out at parties or 4 or 5 DUIs or that kind of thing. The casual attitude about drug alcohol, because it's a drug, it's a liquid drug, it's not alcohol and drugs, it's a drug, it was born from years and years of families accepting it as part of what they do.
Okay, so whereas in the Bible Belt they don't, and in Mormon country they don't, but we do here. We've talked about all the breweries. We've talked about most bars per capita in the country. La Crosse is first, Eau Claire is second. Kathy, I remember them saying that when I was in college in the 80s. That's been just the way it is.
Yeah, it has been. It's a deeply embedded way. If you drive around to some of the beautiful small towns we have in Eau Claire, Triple County, Polk.
Bars, lots of bars.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, lots of bars, right?
Yeah, lots of bars. Exactly. On the main street on Sunday. Open. Open for business. It's the way that we relate to it in Wisconsin. We relate to alcohol like it's just another beverage instead of a very, very high-octane drug.
What about, we've talked a lot, we're the only state in the country that doesn't criminalize first offense drunk driving, and it seems like the state's kind of defense. We look back at 2014. Mary Burke was for criminalizing it. Governor Walker wasn't. Brad Schimmel wasn't. His opponent for attorney general wasn't. I mean, and it is kind of seen as a weight for any elected official in terms of advocating increasing the beer tax, which hasn't been raised since 69, or, and I'm not generally for raising taxes, but sometimes in terms of things like this, it's something to at least look at. So.
Well, one of the things you're seeing as far as the court system is concerned, they're going more towards treatment now rather than a punitive response drunk driving and so forth. So they have drug courts and they have other programs in place. That's why they're not going
but
to
every
jail
okay, or, you're right. But every state in the country criminalizes it except us.
Well, that's because of our attitude towards it. Sometimes just for fun, talk to people about what their attitude is towards alcohol. Social lubricant. It's part of a celebration.
Well, that would be good for me to take the microphone and go out with
man
on the street interviews. And I need to garner that, whether for use next week or for when you get together here, Renee, again, because what are people saying? And so to just ask, what's your attitude towards alcohol?
Well, I think, Kathy, you're right when you say that when you connect it to being a drug, because I can tell you that's not what most people think. But Mark said, you know, on WWIB, the connection with, Mark, do you remember the statistics about the alcohol and then meth uses?
Yeah,
because one thing's got to lead to another.
Sheriff Kramer says in today's Leader Telegram article, I'll give you the exact quote. He says that alcohol used to be the leading reason for people being incarcerated. That's now been surpassed by meth.
That's right. Yeah, because meth is much more glaring. And people are drinking it as part of a family celebration or whatever. It's so much more aggressive up front.
So you think, Kathy, you think that there's a direct correlation between drinking then leading to other drug use?
Boy, that's really hard to determine because an awful lot of people stall out with alcohol. And it's so socially acceptable that I would say pills are more of a gateway. I would say that even pot is more of a gateway. A lot of people drink their whole life, even abusively, and they don't run into any criticism.
Okay. So our vital bottom line question, here's even Sheriff Kramer again. He agrees that he'd like to see some of the culture change, noting that he likes that Minnesota still doesn't allow alcohol sales on Sundays. And I think they just were wrestling with that question in the last week or so in Minnesota, and they said, no, we're going to keep it that way. And they were celebrating in Hudson and Superior and other parts of Wisconsin where they get people coming over from Minnesota, quite a few alcohol sales on Sunday.
Right, but that by them not selling alcohol on Sunday is they're setting a standard.
Yeah.
Regardless of how people respond to that is one thing, but we're not setting that standard in Wisconsin.
Right.
I can only imagine the pushback if they said we aren't going to be able to sell alcohol on Sunday in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
incidentally, I have to say this. I love Wisconsin,
yeah.
And I'm not indicting Wisconsin. I'm just saying when I moved up here from another state, I was shocked at the attitude towards alcohol.
Huh.
I was absolutely shocked.
Yeah, yeah, it is the attitude we have. Just a couple more questions to talk to AODA Counselor Kathy Butler with Dove Counseling. And I mean, you've had your own journey. You know firsthand about how addictive it can be, right?
I do. I was 28 years old when I realized that alcoholism isn't about how much a person drinks. It's about how it affects them. And I noticed as a mother of five that it was affecting my personality. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I didn't drink every day. I could go weeks or months without drinking. But when I did drink and when I was hungover, it was hurting myself and other people. So I got help with that and recognized it for what it was. I'm very fortunate, Mark.
Yeah.
And I attribute that to my relationship with God, because God was convicting me early, early on that it wasn't the right thing for me to do.
Well, Kathy, I said the same thing. I said, since I got saved May 28th of 83, I haven't been drunk or high since then. I mean, have I, you know, consumed? Yes. On the alcohol side, I've not consumed drugs at all, or I guess you'd say the drug of alcohol, of beer or wine, but I would say probably, you know, little to nothing now. Occasionally my wife and I maybe enjoying some wine together, but very minimally. And so, and that feels good. And especially as my kids are all in the double digits, I think that's the right thing. My history back in the late 70s, early 80s in suburban Milwaukee, I mean, stealing booze out of your dad's liquor cabinet, right? Wisconsin consumes 40% of the nation's brandy, one state.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say one more thing, Mark, that oftentimes when we're talking about the subject, we don't talk about the medical aspects. We talk about the behavioral, the character, you know, the legal, the emotional. There are medical aspects as to why people have a condition where they cannot tolerate alcohol. There's medical. I'd like to talk about that sometime because it's helpful if people understand that.
Huh. That is interesting. Can you say anything about it right now?
I really can't. I'm in the middle of a crowd of people.
All right. I will. we'll let you go. The bottom line is, my last question is, in terms of actually changing it, this has been a great conversation. We're starting on women here. It's baked into the cake. It's built in.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that's right.
All right, thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, bye.
All right, Kathy Butler. And you can make an appointment with her for Dove Counseling, 715-456-4020, 715-456-4020. Well, it's kind of discouraging. I mean, it's kind of like that is...
Well, that last one that you said about brandy, 40% of the nation's brandy is consumed here?
That's a stat I heard a long time ago. I know my dad liked his brandy old fashions, and when I heard that statistic, I was blown away too. You talk about the whole nation, and yes, and I haven't checked it lately. I mean, so that's going back a ways, but yeah, 40% of the nation's brandy consumed in Wisconsin. So anyhow, we'll throw it out to you one more time. Otherwise, we've got Governor Walker talking to the media and some highlights from his speech to the Wisconsin. The Chippewa County Economic Development Corporation from earlier today. We'll look at the Chippewa, what's up on the presidential campaign trail, and also what's going on this weekend in the Chippewa Valley. All still coming up in the final half hour of Friday Homepage. Mark and Renee on FM 103.1, AM 680, and WDOGO.com. Give us a call, 723-255-5, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at WDOGO.com. What's on your mind heading into a beautiful weekend? Don't get liquored up this weekend.
Looking to update that leaky old faucet? Don't wait any longer. Stop into Menards and pick up a new Moen faucet. They're all on sale and can be installed in a few hours. The Torrance kitchen faucet with a chrome finish is just $89. For a classic style, pick up the traditional kitchen faucet in a spot-resist stainless steel finish for only $109. Updating your kitchen is easy at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Lake Halley Golf, world famous walleye, only $13.99.
I'm Gary Crossland, and I get a lot of mail from people who love the Merged Gospels. Here's a letter from Tom who says, "The Merged Gospels is so much better than a gospel harmony. Merging the narrative makes many of the stories more detailed, more complete, and more meaningful." Here's Sam who says, "I read the Merged Gospels every day for 90 minutes. Never have I seen an easier way to understand the life of Jesus." And finally, here's Jesse who says, "The Merged Gospels has made a big impact on me and the men that I am discipling. It makes us want to go deeper and to disciple the way Jesus did." the Merged Gospels is the only book of its kind in 2,000 years. It's a literal translation of the Greek Gospels, broken down word by word and reassembled chronologically into one flowing story. Get your own copy of the Merged Gospels book or audiobook. Just go to MergedGospels.com. MergedGospels.com.
WOGO weather for this Friday, May 20th, looking like this. Mostly sunny, high near 72 with calm winds becoming south to southeast around 5 miles an hour this morning. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 47. Then Saturday, sunny, a high near 76. Gorgeous day, sunny and 77 Sunday. Monday, a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 77. And Tuesday, topping out at 77 as well.
Talk Radio 680, WOGO.
Gene Chilson's in from Chilson Subaru with some incredible deals for May. What do you got going on?
Summer is a great time to experience a 2016 Subaru Outback. The Outback is designed to keep you on the road less traveled and get you familiar with the unfamiliar. Standard all-wheel drive keeps you prepared for every road, plus up to 33 miles per gallon based on EPA estimates. Honda and Toyota don't have it.
Great features on the Outback, Gene. What about some great financing from Subaru on the Outback?
Now through May 31st, you can finance a new 2016 Outback for as low as 1.49% for up to 48 months with approved credit and no money down.
That sounds great. Now, how can people find you?
To get a great deal on a new Subaru Outback, call, click, or visit Chilson Subaru on Highway 93 in Eau Claire or visit us on the web at ChilsonSubaru.com. And remember, let our family take care of your family.
Subject to insurance and vehicle availability.
FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Mark Howerson and Renee Couture on a Friday homepage. 28 minutes before lunchtime. Chilson Automotive, family of dealers. Their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive. And Governor Walker was in Eau Claire today. Kind of interesting. It was the Chippewa County Economic Development Corporation, their awards breakfast, but it was in Eau Claire. Well, I think it was in Eau Claire at the Hawthorne Aviation Center because it was convenient. The governor could fly in right there, do it, and I know they've had it at Avalon, the restaurant here in Chippewa, or I think they had it at the National Guard Armory in the past. But this was convenient. The governor had a keynote speaker, like a female helicopter pilot. Initially, she had a lot of energy. And she made me think of you, Renee, in terms of not as a helicopter, but I'm like, well, Renee could get up and speak commandingly to this audience energetically. But then, anyhow, I'll pull a few highlights of what the governor said from his speech. But here's what he had to say to the media. He gives an initial statement and takes a few questions.
Well, great to be back in the Chippewa Valley. As mentioned, we're pleased, part of the good news to thank employers like those represented here today from the Valley is that Wisconsin has this year surpassed the all-time high in terms of the total number of people employed in the state of Wisconsin. We just saw again yesterday 4.4% unemployment, but we need to continue to grow, and we have gone up in the rankings. When I was first running for governor in 2010, we were 41st in the nation in terms of business climate, according to Chief Executive magazine. A week and a half ago, we moved up to 11th on that list, so 30 spots since 2010. But we need to continue to grow. And part of what I shared with people today and visually saw in the reaction was workforce issues, that one of the biggest challenges to economic growth going forward is going to be having enough people with the qualifications needed to fill positions. It's why we've shifted more resources even this year into dual enrollment and worker training programs, particularly in our high schools that coincide with our technical colleges and others, and we're going to do more of that in the future.
Governor, there's a redistricting trial next week. Mm-hmm. Are you worried that that could upset the boundaries for the voting districts in the state?
No, I think fair boundaries ultimately will be similar to what we see right now.
Any comments on the voter ID trial as it unfolds?
Well, in Wisconsin, have attempted to make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. We even recently made some slight modifications in terms of additional ways that we can help in the Department of Motor or Division of Motor Vehicles. So when someone goes to DMV and if they don't have all their documentation, that we can still give them the receipt so that they can get, upon request, they can get identification for free. So people can either vote with things like their driver's license or other forms, or if they need to, there's no barrier out there. They can get a Wisconsin identification card for free, and we've added additional ways for them to do that.
Governor, if the redistricting, if the redistricting map that was drawn up in 2011 mm-hmm. is struck down, what would the state have to do? I mean, what kind of steps would be taken?
Well, I have every confidence that it's ultimately going to be upheld. It's a fair map. It's reasonably drawn regarding communities of interest. And I'll give you a good example. In the Racine and Kenosha area, one of the areas that some people complain about, but it's a good example, used to be two districts, one in Racine County, one in Kenosha County. Instead of it being by county, they took Kenosha and Racine, which are large urban areas, put those together in the Senate district. They took the western half, west basically of Interstate 94 in both Racine and Kenosha County, both of which are made up of relatively small-sized communities, and put those together. Those are communities of interest in that they have shared interest on economic and demographic issues. And I think issues like that just show that the maps are fair.
Two more questions. Two-part here. First off, comment regarding the ruling this week with case against you and mm-hmm. Superintendent Evers.
All right, well, we'll get into that a little bit more. Mark and Renee, homepage, WOGO. Just being reminded, again, as we play some of this, Renee Couture, is just the calm, cool, and collected Governor Walker. And, yes, I did, from a photo I saw from the Republican convention, Brian Westrate, the chair of the Republican Party 3rd Congressional District, had on Facebook, I thought the governor looked as relaxed and at peace as at any time. And I think all throughout, I mean, even Act 10, even if you hate the guy, okay, the fact is that I thought he did maintain calm, cool composure, right? And I think you need that. I think even with Trump, even in the last day, one of the things that I think people, if you're honest, you can find a little bit troubling is he jumped right away and said, he kind of spoke like certainly that this was terror. I mean, a lot of people are inclined that the Egypt Air flight was terrorism, but I think as a president, as a governor for sure, and as a president, don't you need to be measured? I mean, one of the things people said about Barack Obama coming in was positively when he was running in 2008 is that calm and maintaining that calm because, well, okay, I mean, you cannot like him. I see your eye roll. But, I mean, okay, just saying that. And with Walker, he has that. And even Trump, when Trump lost in Wisconsin, he ripped Walker. I didn't understand his approach at all.
He probably doesn't.
But he said Walker should have raised taxes. He ripped Walker's reforms. And yet, after he lost Wisconsin, a short time later, at a USA Today interview, and he named people he would consider for vice president, and he named Scott Walker. And Walker said when he read it, he laughed out loud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Trump is not guarding his words. He probably doesn't know what he says from one minute to the next.
But I think with Walker, I mean, just this, a pastor's son, an Eagle Scout.
To me, he's the epitome of being steadfast.
He can make a decision. And I still wouldn't rule him out. I know he himself has said no. Okay, he himself has said
what,
no.
What, about running for president again?
No, I think about...
Or being connected with Trump.
Whatever. Trump's running, I think it's probably a huge long... I mean, it's just not who Scott Walker is. But I think... That part, I go back to two things. Charlie Sykes, and most listened to talk show host in the state on TMJ. Dan Bice of the Journal Sentinel. I've mentioned this in the past, but not recently. But I think I was thinking about it even this morning as I drove back from the airport covering the governor. And that is they had their first ever dialogue in terms of the Journal Sentinel. In terms of, they were taking questions and from folks online. And so what... This was when Walker was running for re-election. What's Walker's biggest strengths? Okay, this is ahead of the fall of 2014. And Charlie Sykes said, staying on message, that he can stay on message. And that's important, right?
Yeah.
Donald Trump, I mean, it can be all over the place. And also, Bice said, you know what, I talked to somebody who knows Walker really well, and he said he'd only seen him angry like twice. And so that's a huge plus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
those are real strengths. So he does have character, the calm, cool, collected. The other part is I'm seeing him, I think, enjoying at peace and enjoying himself. And I think the observation, when you think about it, enjoying himself, that what I sensed in the picture from the Republican convention in Green Bay last week is enjoying himself as much more than any time. And think about it, because He came sworn in. He won it on his birthday, November 2nd, 2010. He, Act 10, a month in, right? He's getting things done. He's got a Republican-controlled legislature, but Act 10 is introduced February, and just boom, and that explodes. You write all that out, the hatred, mm-hmm. the vitriol. But the benefit was a lot of fundraising. June 5th, 2012, he wins the recall by an even larger margin over the guy he beat.
Right.
And he had to say, come on, people, get the message. Then he's got a short time after that, really, running against Mary Burke. He beats Mary Burke and basically starts running for president.
Yeah.
And so he looks now relaxed and comfortable, and he is told when Guy Benson filled in for Hugh Hewitt on The Hugh Hewitt Show, he said that he'd recorded an interview with Walker recently and said, you have to ask the question right. He said, are you inclined to run for governor again? He said, I am. You know, I'll probably make an announcement sometime. Yeah, after the election or after, next year. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, and he, to be put through what he went through, when I talked to Laura Ingraham, I said, you would have thought that he was the Antichrist here. You would have thought that he was the most evil person that had ever lived, the way that the media ripped and shredded him day in and day out. And you know what? I have cousins that hate him, but I ask them one question about him, they can't answer. And I'm like, well, okay, you use the word vitriol. They're so vitriolic in their hatred towards him, yet they don't even know why they hate him. But I think it's just because the media just painted him as this horrible person. But Mr. Steadfast.
It was very unpopular what he did. I mean, in terms of, and I think part of that needed to change. Could he have done it a little bit differently, approached it differently? Possibly.
Well, hindsight is 20/20, as they
sure.
say.
And I think he even has suggested, possibly there's ways he could have gone about it. But let's remember this, that a Democratic governor and a Democratic-controlled state Senate and Assembly also didn't deal with this public union bargaining contract, okay? And it was way overdue, and they knew it was thankless. And there's parts of it, particularly the health care part for public union employees, that was just a it's completely, I want to say corrupt. I mean, in terms of for the cost for the taxpayer, it was just ridiculous. And so the fact that that got changed, and again, he turned around a $3.6 billion deficit. Now, did he need to return $1 billion to us in terms of a surplus for taxes? I mean, it was all pretty minimal, but he has continued to hold the line on property taxes, et cetera, as I think you're going to hear in some of the remainder of this. So,
I just think
it was very unpopular.
It's a difference in ideology, differences in the role of government,
right.
Where Democrats think one way and Republicans, especially a conservative, Scott Walker, thinks another
yeah.
way.
Something needed to be done. And a Democrat, even in a lame duck session, here's the thing in closing, even in a lame duck session, because, Doyle was already leaving, Walker had already won the election. Russ Decker, a Democrat from Wausau, had led in the state Senate. He'd been beaten. And when they tried to do something for the public union employees, Decker didn't go along with it. So even the Democrats, even in a lame duck session, when they weren't even going to, they were already done. They're just playing out the string, and they couldn't come to an agreement. So Walker's like, all right, we'll take that. We'll change that. And he did, but certainly he's got his fans and he's got his critics. All right, Mark and Renee, WOGO. Marco, your authorized Canon HP Conic Minolta dealer. And if you're an auto repair, do it yourself, or just need a set of wipers, shop the Eau Claire and Halley Auto Value stores, encouraging you to be car care aware. More of what Governor Walker said during a stop in Eau Claire today. Come on.
Do the cherry berry. Do the cherry berry.
Summer starts early at Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt. Treat yourself to 14 delicious flavors of creamy, never from powder frozen yogurt, like sea salt caramel pretzel, cookie monster, and strawberry bliss. Then customize with over 50 toppings, including cheesecake and brownie bites, candy bar pieces, even fresh fruit and granola. Swirl, smile, and stay a while at Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt in Eau Claire.
Do the cherry berry. Do the cherry berry.
If you need a new roof, come to Menards for more options at the best price. Owens Corning offers a wide selection of shingles, from standard three tabs to heavyweight laminated shingles, making them the perfect option for any roof. Classic three tab shingles cover 33.3 square feet per bundle, starting at just $11.99 after rebate. That's only $35.97 after rebate for 100 square feet of coverage. Buying new shingles has never been easier with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
I think we'll let the presidential politics go by today. We got 15 minutes left on the clock. I'm going to take you to one final question for Governor Walker and set it up this way. There's a grieving mom, Destiny Boone, in Milwaukee, and I think we heard from her earlier in the week. Her little daughter, 9 years old, May 5th, was watching television in the home, and then gunfire from gangs outside the Milwaukee neighborhood home, and Zelania, I believe, she was hit by the gunfire. She was at Milwaukee Children's Hospital until earlier this week when she died. The next day would have been her 10th birthday, and her mom was speaking on Wednesday. Destiny Boone.
I'm going to start by saying thank everybody for coming out for Zelaya. It's hard for me right now. I'm so numb. That's my first baby. I'm so numb. That's my first baby. Today her birthday. She had her whole life ahead of her. I don't understand why. I really don't. I don't know why somebody would do this to her. Daddy, I'm sorry. I just want whoever did this to my baby to know I don't hate you for what you did. I just need you to turn yourself in. I need justice for my baby. That's my baby. She did so much for me. I lost my mom, and I had her right around the same time. She was there for me like nobody could ever understand. She got me through tough times. I need her so much. I really need her. She'd be right here with us, fighting for a different cause.
All right, so heart-wrenching, obviously. And again, and in Madison, we've had gangs that have the violence has led to two young black men being gunned down at a gas station recently. And there's been a recent arrest. So with that in mind, I asked Governor Walker about that today with this growing gang and gun violence in Wisconsin's two largest cities, Milwaukee and Madison. I said, does this bother you? Is there anything that you as the governor can do about this?
Oh, it absolutely bothers me. Anytime it's happening, I don't care where it is, anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. But there's no one simple answer to that. I think at its core, it goes back to the family. We've seen the breakdown of the family. And there are things the government can do to stop creating incentives for families not to be together. I mean, I think the more, a lot of this we have to push the federal government on, but the more we keep intact families, it's not just a moral issue. We know mathematically the data shows that if a child is raised in a two-parent family, they're statistically much more likely to graduate from school, to get a job, to live a life free of government dependence. And so we need to do more to strengthen families. Certainly we need to do other things with law enforcement and public education and other things along the way. But at its core, it goes back to the family.
Reaction?
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely right on. You know, and you hear the pain in that mother's voice. Of course, she's got to be so devastated. And, you know, she's saying, I don't understand why this happened. It doesn't sound like her daughter was targeted by these gangs. But just, you know, when you don't value life, when you have nobody at home shaping your heart and your character, and obviously people not having somebody point them towards Jesus and the Bible and right and wrong and good and evil. I mean, these kids, they don't even know why they're alive. And like you mentioned on the other station, people a lot of times join gangs because they have no idea what it's like to be in a family. And as perverted as a gang family
sure.
is, it's a
it gives you that sense of community, of belonging.
Yeah, and I mean, right. People are searching. I mean, people are so desperate to know why they're alive and to know their value. And like I said, you know, my brother brought home way back in the day, 40 years ago, brought back The Cross and the Switchblade, the movie or the book about David Wilkerson going and ministering to the gangs in New York City, you know, in these neighborhoods that even the cops were afraid to go into. But David, here he was, this white guy, you know, gave away his shoes, and here he's standing in his stocking feet preaching Jesus to these absolute murderous gang members, and how their lives, so many of them, were absolutely transformed by Jesus. And I mean, that is the hope for any of these gangs, we, you know, in Wisconsin or anyplace else.
Yeah. Chilson Automotive, family of dealerships, their family taking care of your family since 1959. Coming up, a story I posted on Facebook yesterday from the New York Post, a column from Naomi Schaefer Riley from Independent Women's Forum. Parents, pray that your kids aren't popular. Having to do with social media in today's world and its impact on young people. And this is a huge issue that families need to face. We'll talk about it. Interested to get Renee's reaction as well. And yours, WOGO.
Lake Alley Golf. Their Friday fish fry as low as $9.99.
It slices, it dices, and for just three easy payments.
There's gold in them there hills there, Cindy. Just buy my map.
Psst, hey, buddy. You want to buy a Rolex?
Not everything is a good investment, but your home is. From roofing to remodeling and additions, even colored stamped concrete, Rock and Tate Exteriors can add to your home's beauty and future value. Take a look at rockandtate.com.
Your exterior specialist, Rock and Tate.
Courtesy Auto Truck Center has the vehicle to fit you and incentives to make it easy. With up to 60 months, zero interest. Check out the 2013 certified pre-owned Ford Escape SUV or any of the quality, worry-free pre-owned vehicles that include generous trade allowance and the lowest interest rates that allow you to be ready for summer driving in style. Just off Highway 29 in Thorpe or visit drivecourtesyauto.com.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, Mark and Renee, Halvo and Couture, one final segment of 8 minutes here, taking us up to 12 noon on WOGO. You say you like to drive home from here on Fridays, listen to Dennis Prager and the Happiness Hour, and you just feel happy.
I do, and it's so funny. He goes, when I called him last week, he's like, you know, I was just saying that we need to get more callers from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And the hilarious thing is, my friend in San Diego, she was listening to the Dennis Prager,
right?
And she's like, oh, there's Renee!
Huh. Well, here's a column yesterday in the New York Post, which there's some ads on the right, something trending. And I'm like, oh, that's not the best for me as a Christian radio broadcaster to have something I posted on my Facebook. But the article is what I wanted people to focus on. Parents, pray that your kids aren't popular. This is Naomi Schaefer Riley with the Independent Women's Forum. We've talked with some of their folks from time to time. All right. She starts off. She's got there's a picture It's a movie still from the movie Mean Girls. Remember that movie?
I've never seen
it. Okay, I haven't either. Mean Girls, a film about high school popularity or the lack thereof. But here's the quote is, we would hope that our young girls understand that there are other ways to be popular. That was Duxbury School Superintendent Ben Tantillo. I don't know if Duxbury is in New York. This is New York Post. Commenting on the discovery this month of pictures of 50 female students from Duxbury High School in varying states of undress in an online Dropbox. Schaefer Riley says there's no indication apparently that any of the students at the Massachusetts school had the photos taken while they were unaware, so that they were completely aware of it. In fact, the local police chief announced that many of the photos seemed to be selfies. So young girls taking selfies of themselves in various states of undress. But that's the thing, it is, and it's tough. I mean, this technological jungle that's out there, we wrestle through it with our kids in terms of, you know, even with their own dollars buying, you know, because part of, you know, you're getting your kids to go out into a world where, which is a technological jungle.
Yeah.
And you said that you respect your brother who is aware of his kids' material and checking it.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's good. You got to be an involved parent, right, to the degree. But here's how the story continues. So is Tantillo right? Are girls sending nude pictures themselves in order to be popular is the question the article raises. And Schaefer Riley says a lot of ink has been spilled trying to figure out why kids sexting. In a 2014 piece in The Atlantic, Hannah Rosen describes the typical scenario. A boy keeps asking a girl over and over for naked pictures of herself, and eventually she gives in. As Rosen writes of one such girl, he asked a dozen more times in different ways, and one night the text came as she was getting out of the shower. What are you doing? He texted. I just got out of the shower and I'm about to go to sleep. Send me a picture, capital letters, please. She caved. She sent it over Snapchat and said he had to let it erase right away. He said he did.
Comments?
Yeah, comments that people don't. I mean, I've said this on tour because, I mean, it's a dangerous world to navigate with this technology. And I've had kids sexting on tour.
Really?
I mean, unbelievable.
I've heard you say that before. Okay.
And the thing is, people don't realize that every single text, even Snapchat, that is public domain.
Mm.
And it still exists someplace. It might disappear after 6 seconds of Snapchat, but Snapchat still owns the right to that. Just like any of the texting stuff. You think, oh, I'm just going to delete this text. It may be deleted off your phone, but actually if somebody needed to get it, I mean, a person that can that knows computer stuff, they can still get it on your phone. It's not deleted forever. And, you know, when you've got kids, this gets back to the whole gang thing. When people are so desperate for attention because the homes are broken up, the mothers aren't home, you know, to shape the hearts and minds and characters of these kids, that void is going to be filled by something. And girls, I mean, we're different than guys, and girls so want to be loved, so want to be accepted and approved of. They think, I mean, it's foolish, but they think that doing this type of stuff will get that. And it's just a wicked circle that they get involved in. And when you think of that lives forever and ever in virtual reality, I mean, it can be brought up 30 years from now.
Yeah.
These pictures can be brought back up.
Let me give you just a little bit more here. This sounds like a book we should try to get. Nancy Jo Sale's new book, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers, chronicles the lives of some 13-year-olds in Montclair, New Jersey, who regularly get requests from boys at their schools to send nudes. N-O-O-D-Z. If they do, they'll be branded sluts, but if they don't, they'll be branded prudes. And again, the challenge for parents is to raise a girl, a boy or girl, but particularly a girl in this instance, who has strong enough moral convictions, faith-based, that they go, you know, I don't care if you call me a prude, right? I mean, you gotta...
Because what does prude mean? You know, it's so ridiculous.
Protecting, you know, I'm saving myself for
what
for
a novel
future.
Concept.
Yeah, not you. The girl, the writer says, the girls simply want to fit in. Their texting is not so much a bid to be popular as a plan not to stand out by saying no. So anyhow, that is what we've got there on that particular
it's
issue.
Really, but really sad.
It sounds like somebody worth talking to, Nancy Jo Sales, and try to get on a future program. Well, Hugh Hewitt is back from vacation after 2 weeks away, and we missed him. And thanks to Brian and Eau Claire, Brian caught some of it, and Tarzana Joe is great. Now, for years, Hugh was on weeknights on WOGO, but he is now on weekday mornings at 5 to 8 in the morning. And there's guy Tarzana Joe, and he takes some of the events from the week and turns it into a poem. And you can check his site, tarzanajoe.com. And Brian has just sent emailed me. And said, interesting poem on Hugh Hewitt. Maybe every Friday just before 7, a poem is read. You know what? I think Brian's even sent me the content. So I think it is okay, Brian. And so we're going to do it. So we'll read this to close. It's called Night and Day, A Parable. And again, all the credit to Tarzana Joe. Check his site. He can pay him to write a poem for you, tarzanajoe.com. Yes, there are some certain people who, for reasons great or slight, don't function well in daylight and prefer to work at night. Though of all the population, they make up the merest fraction, they formed a coalition, and the group demanded action. They say, down with nine-to-fivers, as they chant and march in line, and urge government to mandate that we all work 5 to 9. And the average working person has no notion, not the slightest, of the bullying harassment that you face when you're a nightist. We will start a revolution, as the great Alinsky sayest, and obtain our retribution for oppression that is deist. So the Office of Diverseness, well within their mandate keeping, has issued a directive that the daytime is for sleeping, except for those with permits, which you can obtain through channels, granting an exemption if you work with solar panels. If this seems to you like nonsense and you're somehow moved to say, man, throughout recorded history, slept by night and worked by day, then you're pegged as a pariah with your privilege excessive, and there's no place for opinions in a world that's gone progressive. They can tell you where to stand and they can tell you where to sit. They can tax your noncompliance or they'll tax what you emit. Just get used to all that's coming in a world of change and hoping. And I suggest you practice how to sleep with one eye open. So, yeah, Tarzana Joe.
Really creative.
Tarzana Joe is great. And you can check out his website, which I'm sure he'd be glad that we promote. Tarzanajoe.com. Tarzanajoe.com. Brian, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Hey, we're out of time. Renee, thank you so much. Mark Halverson, we'll get a podcast up at WDOGO.com. Thanks for listening.